ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Hello and welcome to another instalment of The Couch here on ABC Radio National. This is your weekly catch-up with new releases on TV and streaming. I'm Jason DeRosso. With me is Wenli Ma. How are you, Wenli?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. Are you feeling fast and furious?
I mean, you say that, but actually...
Brooding and furious.
Brooding and furious. I was going to say, Vin Diesel's in the news today, so don't confuse things.
No. Well, because first up, the first show we're going to have a look at is Furious. And lately we've been looking at shows that I think have an appeal for middle-aged men. Would you think Furious is switching things a little bit and switching flicking the switch to middle-aged female audiences?
Well, I hope middle-aged men also watch this show because I think they could get a lot out of it. It's definitely more female-coded because it is talking about, you know, the rage against the machine, really. The title is Furious, and it is about anger and injustice that these core female lead characters experience at the hands of men, at the hands of the system, of these institutions that uphold male privilege and power.
Yeah, this is a show that engages with violent sex crime and it engages very much with issues of gender and concepts of victimhood, I suppose. It's about an FBI investigator, Alice Black, played by Emmy Rossum, who is a domestic violence survivor, and she's on the trail of what appears to be a female serial killer. I'll leave it at that. Here's a taste of the trailer.
Female killers know their victims. They kill for power, control.
Being a victim of violence makes you colder, more calculating. Don't you think so?
I believe there's a deeper motivation here.
She wanted me to give you this.
Why is she telling us who's next?
I really think the homicides are payback.
I feel like I've met you before.
We have met before.
I was 15.
Yes.
Chilling. So I want to start by saying that usually, like, the whole serial killer psychological crime thriller with, you know, the detective on the case, not my genre, because so much of it, at least stylistically, trope-wise, sort of veer towards true crime, even if they're not a true crime story. So I started watching this. I'm like, okay, I'm a little bit skeptical. Let's see how we go. And within about two-thirds of the first episode, I thought, oh my God, is this show like good? It's great. I really liked it.
Yeah. Do you think did it remind you of Killing Eve?
A little bit, but not as, I guess, camp.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a little more somber, but it's not humorless. And I will say it's not relentlessly grim and dark, even though it's playing with some very, very heavy themes.
Yeah. I haven't had the hairs on the back of my neck stand up on end since watching Killing Eve, probably, when it comes to small screen viewing. I found this really terrifying and beautifully written. With some, I mean, about midway through the second episode, there is a twist when a character arrives who you don't expect to arrive on the scene. And I thought at that point, wow, I'm strapping myself in here. This is going to be so much fun. And it is. But as you say, it's a very serious-minded show, even though it's not without humor.
Yeah, and I think that balance is key to part of its appeal, is because so often this genre just goes for dark and lurid, and it goes for, like, we're just going to go into the deepest, darkest recesses of someone's twisted psychology. But here it's a lot more, I don't know if accessible is the right word, but, you know, you get a very clear sense of where this show is situated in terms of what, you know, we're thinking about more widely. I mean, there's a lot of coded references to Epstein and child sex trafficking rings and the systems that keep those things sort of, you know, secret and going, which is horrific.
Yeah.
So you do get a lot of these male characters who are scumbags. But I do want to mention that even though the three lead characters, you've got, yeah, Emmy Rossum as a detective, Lola Pettigrew as Catherine Grace, the serial killer, and Quincy Tyler Bernstein, Nora, the head of the FBI sex crimes, who is a very cool, interesting, flawed character. I loved watching her. But there is a fourth main character, and that's
Scoop McNairy.
Good. We love Scoop McNairy. I mean, I never saw him before. Well, I never noticed him before Halt and Catch Fire. So I was like, I'm always happy to see Scoop McNairy come up.
Yeah.
And he plays Danny, and he's Alice's former NYPD partner. And he is actually, like, he's not, you know, a completely upstanding good guy, but he's a really decent person. And I think in a series where it is very much talking about, like, yeah, these gendered power dynamics, to have someone who is a heterosexual male who is, you know, an example of, like, how you can be an ally and how you can actually be a good person in this incredibly compromised world. Fantastic.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, when you use words like ally, you're making it sound a bit more kind of like you're eating your sort of vegetables with this.
Yeah, it's not like that at all.
And it's not kind of didactic.
It's not didactic.
Don't scare off the middle-aged straight white man.
Well, I mean, it's still doing a lot of the genre tropes, which and we know the crime thriller is a universally beloved, you know, cross demographics genre. So I think there's a lot in it for everyone, and you know, it does things that are very thrilling, and it does things that are familiar and recognizable. But I think the writing is great, and I think a lot of that has to do with Liz Merriweather, who created this show, because she started off her Hollywood career doing, like, New Girl, which I love,
and sitcoms. Yeah, no, well, New Girl sitcom, but and romantic comedies, no strings attached. No, it's really interesting, isn't it, that she's really come up trumps here. And
she's more recently did Dying for Sex, which was that Michelle Williams series from last year, which I loved, and The Dropout, which is the Elizabeth Holmes biopic about the Theranos founder. And so she's really sort of changing, emerging, and I'm so interested in her work.
Yeah. No, look, Furious is streaming over on Disney Plus. They are 1 hour eps. They're dropping. They're drip feeding it out to us.
Which I think is good.
It is good.
I binged this and it was a lot, but I loved it.
Yeah. And also there are these twists that you'll want to kind of digest and think about for a few days, perhaps, before you go on to the next installment. Furious, it's really good. It's really beautifully acted. And there's just a lot in it. You know what? There's something that Furious has in common with the next show we're going to have a look at, which is in a very different tonal register. It's called 2 Weeks in August. It's a British kind of comedy drama about middle-age crisis and rich people. It's in the rich people on holiday sort of genre.
Oh, yeah.
It's like a White Lotus sort of thing. But something really, something that links both shows is that there are women who talk about being well-educated and they have had some difficult times in their lives and they are very much in some ways disempowered. But they engage with the world through or via their knowledge of culture and having this. So, you know, you've got Quincy Tyler Bernstein as that head of the FBI's sex crimes unit talking, you know, quoting Balzac and stuff. And in this show, 2 Weeks in August, which is set on
a Greek island.
There's references to Greek. Zoe, who's, I guess, the main character, references her, I guess, education with, you know, the classics, Greek mythology, and talks about it. That to her
We're
kids
just
and so
swimming
forth.
Swimming in Greek mythology at the moment because, yeah, even Nora in Furious tells the story of Medusa, and now this
she
is
does.
All
she tells
Greek
the story,
mythology.
Exactly.
And you can't escape the Odyssey discourse
and,
either.
Yeah, that's right. And the serial killer also is not a dum dum. Let's say that in Furious.
Yeah.
She's also quite well read and so forth. So I thought that was kind of an interesting dimension. But yeah, let's talk about this British show, 2 Weeks in August. I'll play a clip. This is about a group of friends, couples who, as we've said, all go to this Greek island for a couple of weeks in August. But there are all sorts of middle-age crises looming on the horizon for all of them. And there's a little bit of infidelity already in the first episode that's going to sort of light a few fuses, I reckon. I'm going to play you a clip. There is a language warning ahead. This is where Zoe and her very grumpy husband are shopping for ingredients to make dinner for the rest of the group on their first night. And they're finding that even the frozen fish on this Greek island is much more expensive than they thought. As I say, strong language ahead.
Sorry, is that 23 euro for one fish?
I think so.
Oh, fuck. We'd need like four.
No, they look pretty big. I'd probably get away with two.
Well, you can't come back with like a quarter of a fucking fish each, Zoe.
We'll get three then.
But what's that, like 70 euro? Are we going to have anything left for the rest of the holiday?
We won't be doing every meal, will we? We could just get a lobster.
One lobster?
Yeah.
One lobster between eight. What the fuck?
Could you not shout, please?
I'm not shouting. It's just very hot.
We're in Greece in August. Of course it's hot. That's why we came here. We didn't want to be cold anymore.
Can I just say, from the get-go, there is something weird about watching English shows set in Southern European summers or Tuscany or whatever, because as an Australian, you're always watching it going, it doesn't look that hot.
I think it's really hot.
Well, yeah, but you know, sometimes they're wearing like long sleeve shirts in the, and you're going, that's not summer.
Maybe
if you're wearing
just
a long sleeve
really
shirt,
sun-safe.
That's not summer. Maybe.
Maybe they're really
sun-safe. That's true. Be sun-safe. That is very wise to say. But, you know, I don't know. I don't think that English can quite render the heat of a place,
the
like
say,
yes, like Australian filmmakers. Anyway, we
diverge.
Yeah. 2 weeks in August. I wanted to like this. That banter, as you heard in that clip, is sometimes quite fun. There's a bit of awkward British comedy. It's not a British comedy in that.
It's not
in
quite
that, cringe
that dry.
Fest. No, in that cringe fest way either. Because it's about, again, pretty serious things. And I suppose women more than men suffering in relationships that don't work for them anymore.
A little bit. I think it does expand a bit more in the later episodes. I think, I also wanted to like it more than I ultimately did. Especially because this goes over eight episodes and they are about 45, 55 minutes long.
It's a big commitment.
It's a big commitment. And those first three or four episodes, I just kept texting my friend going, I'm watching this new show. I'm so bored. I was bored. I felt like the pacing really struggled at first, even though it does have those sort of story bomb drop moments popping in here and there. But this feels very much like this should have been three episodes, not eight. It really did stretch out. I think it is trying to go for a little bit of that White Lotus thing. There are some friendship dynamics that feels a lot like the most recent White Lotus season where everybody went nuts for like the toxic friendship between those three women, which I actually thought was probably the show's weakest point. So this feels a lot like a warning of if you are about to go on a group holiday with friends and if there's any part of you that just goes a little bit, I don't know if I want to, stay home. Don't go.
What do you think of the whole Greek mythology thread running through it where it gets a bit magic realist and we get into the sort of interior perspective of Zoe in particular?
I think it is a storytelling device to try and give us some insight into her struggles, her internal struggles. I think that she's been feeling, you know, issues of neglect. There's been problems in their relationship in that family that hasn't quite been confronted. And it's a way to kind of pull that out for someone who hasn't had the opportunity to really look at that and voice that, because she's had to take, I guess, second place to her husband's mental health struggles. And I think that's very relatable, but at the same time, I'm not sure that it works all that particularly well. Like, I mean, it doesn't necessarily.
It's a bit pretentious, don't you
think,
as well?
I mean, it
you sort of feel it.
Not work, but I just didn't grasp onto it.
It doesn't need to be there. It seems like a flourish that seemed like a good idea perhaps at the time, but is a bit forced. This is created by Catherine Shepherd, who it was made for the BBC. So that doesn't necessarily tell you much, but I do feel that it's not particularly a great risk-taking enterprise somehow.
No, it feels like it's elements cobbled together. Like, we should have middle-aged friends who are about to fall out. We should have a sunny location that's going to throw everything into disarray.
Yeah.
Like, we should have these conflict
inducing, triggering.
Yeah, almost a formula. It gets better. I will say it does get better. So it actually grew on me, but I'm not sure I would have persisted if I didn't have to.
Yeah, it's whether you have the time really to watch eight episodes at these lengths, you know, 45 odd minutes each installment. It's a lot, I think, for what we're actually getting back.
Yeah.
I mean, there are some interesting things. There's kind of cost of living crisis element to it. I quite like the plot line of the actor, the struggling actor and all that. But look, I just couldn't bring myself to to finish it at all, and I think people might struggle. But you know,
some good performances.
Yeah, good performances, and you get the general tone of it and the territory. If it sounds like your sort of thing, bet in for it, and you might enjoy it. 2 weeks in August, streaming over at Binge, 8 one-hour episodes. Hey, that is it for another episode of The Couch. Time to go. I'm Jason DeRosso.
I'm Wenli Ma.
See you next week.
Bye.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.